You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to TCRG to CEO Radio. I'm your host, Courtney J., and I hope everyone enjoyed my sneaky little return to your feeds last week. I didn't make a big deal about it coming out before it dropped and just going off of like the Instagram story replies to me posting the link. It sounds like everyone wants this back in their feed. So yay. Today we're discussing The Year That Rocked Irish Dancing, which is the new BBC documentary that was filmed in preparation for and during the 2002 World Championships plus the time after that. And obviously I am not a journalist. Don't take this episode with a lot of, you know, journalistic perspective, because it's not necessarily intended to be that way. I would say this episode is more commentary because this is a very relevant current event in Irish dancing. And also, you know, as an Irish dance enthusiast, not just someone who works in the industry, anytime they drop Irish dancing documentary, we're all about it, right? So I watched this through the lens of an Irish dance enthusiast, someone who works in the industry. And I also tried to watch it through the lens of maybe someone who doesn't know a lot about Irish dancing, because I think a background fear that people that do work in the industry have about the scandal and everything that's been going on is that it tarnishes the image of Irish dancing to people that don't know anything about it. So I tried to kind of watch it through all three perspectives, and this episode is designed to just be a conversation starter, commentary. I certainly do not have any animosity for any of the participants. The views expressed here are my own. Take it for what you will. I will mention a little later in the show a way that you can kind of engage with this and a new thing I'm trying. And I'd love to, I think this is the perfect episode to kind of kick that off and see how it goes. So if you are someone who hasn't seen the documentary, it dropped last week at the time I'm recording this. It is a BBC publication, production. So the only official way to watch it is on BBC's own website. So the way I did this when it came out is I turned my VPN to London, opened up BBC iPlayer, and then watched it as if I was watching it in London. I do know that people have screen recorded and tried to put it on YouTube, but of course it's not going to last very long because it's copyrighted content for the BBC. They'll be pretty swift in taking it down. But if you are eagle-eyed, you will find some links to watch it that way. I guess just once you find it, don't expect the link to work for very long, because it probably won't. It's a three-part series, at least from what has been released so far. Without spoiling, you know, too much before we talk about it, the door has definitely been left open for future episodes or future, maybe a sequel documentary. But we'll talk about that later as well. So the first two episodes are essentially following a few dancers on their way to the 2022 World Championships in Belfast. You have both American dancers from Doherty Petrie plus their trip to Belfast, and you see the dancers in the Belfast class, and then you meet Blonid, and then there's dancers featured from McConomy, Doherty, Bradley, I think I got all the names in, the Murray siblings, and that's kind of the like meat and potatoes of what's going on in that episode. Is you're meeting, you know, the dancers, the teachers, you're watching them prepare and train a little bit, and then eventually we see them at the competition as well. So as a Irish dance enthusiast, you know, you have to love and appreciate the behind the scenes look at, you know, training and teaching styles and all of that. If I was someone who's watching the documentary not knowing a whole lot about Irish dancing, I don't know that it would have given me enough insight into what's involved. You know, this isn't a criticism of the documentary. I'm sure there were time constraints or, you know, a certain number of episodes they were going to produce. And with the scandals coming to light, you know, who knows, maybe there was a lot more depth that could have gone in, but they wanted to include that last episode as, you know, kind of the shift. So that's my one thing, is I don't know that I would have learned quite enough about Irish dancing to really understand the documentary. Another thing, just as a general viewer, if I didn't know the dancers already, we met them, but we didn't get enough depth or story from anyone. And what I mean by that is, I know a lot of us hold Jig as kind of the gold standard of Irish dancing documentaries. I do think there was another really good one. It was, I think, an RTE production, and it followed Niamh from Doherty Petri for a documentary, as well as like a Shandos dancer. That was a really good one too. But I know a lot of us hold Jig as kind of the gold standard. And watching Jig, you felt like you got to know the dancers or the characters, if you don't, you know them. Otherwise, you get to know enough about their story and kind of what goes on really behind the curtains of just the competition or just the classes. Like, you got to see them with their families, and I just felt like we got to know them, and you had someone you were rooting for in Jig. And I kind of use that comparison too, because when Jig came out, we all knew the results. It's not like we didn't already know who won or, you know, what happened to each of the dancers. Same thing in this documentary, but I just didn't get that connection with any dancer. Like, there wasn't enough depth from any one dancer. I think they really tried to get us to get Blonde's story to the point where we kind of got to like know her or feel like, oh, you know, she's dancing on a stress fracture and like, will she make it and all that. But I still think the depth of character development was a little bit light. But, you know, as someone who's watching as an Irish dance enthusiast and someone who works in the industry, obviously we know the dancers, we know the results, you know, no big surprises, no big drama, anything like that. So for me, the first two episodes, a nice little watch. That's what I'll say. Episode three is where it's at. This is where I wish they had almost abandoned the first two episodes and really gone all in on episode three, which is called Revelations. And it goes through, you know, what happened after the 2022 World Championships. And it takes us back to October when the text messages were leaked. And it brings in Ellen Coyne, who's the journalist at the Irish Independent, who covered, you know, kind of breaking the story. And there was a disclaimer on the first two episodes that said something to the effect of, you know, while this documentary was being filmed, we have no indication that the parents or dancers filmed had any part or knowledge of this going on. And the first time I saw that disclaimer pop up on the screen, I immediately noticed that the word teacher was absent. And I thought to myself, okay, well, that was like a really clever, interesting way to, you know, let the innocent dancers remain and, you know, keep their innocence while also not specifically saying that you do, like, verify that the teachers were involved, but also you're not letting them escape some level of accountability either. So I just thought that was really, really interesting. And the problem that they probably had in turning this last episode into the feature of the documentary, kind of the main event, is that none of the participants that were featured in the first two episodes would speak on the record. And I understand why they didn't, but I also really wish they would have. And the inexcusable part to me, and they mention this in the documentary, they're saying it on the record, so I'm going to take it as much truth as we possibly can, is that CLRG did not respond to emails for comment, nothing. And what I was hoping for, or what I think would have been a good opportunity for some of the teachers that were filmed to take is to come on and do a very brief statement, even if it was just to say, I'm really embarrassed that my name came up in the text messages. It reflects really poorly on me and my school, and I'm sorry to my dancers. I think if that's something that any of those teachers, and I guess we're really talking about a teacher who was in the text messages specifically and featured in the documentary, I would have really respected them coming on the record and saying even just that sentence, because I think the documentary did a really good job of outlining what happened and what the collective damage of that was. And I am really happy, I guess, that the dancer's story didn't get lost in that. I give a lot of props to Owen and Cassidy Lubbers for speaking on camera and sharing their story. The producer referenced that she was having a very, very hard time getting anyone to speak on camera or be part of the documentary once the scandal broke because there was so much fear. And that's something that all of us can understand, is that there's a fear of speaking out. There's a fear of, your words not making change, and also maybe punishing, if you're a dancer, maybe, punishing you directly, or if you're a teacher, that, someone's not going to like what you have to say and it's going to reflect on your school or your dancers. And somehow that hasn't happened to the people in the texts. If you listen to this podcast, I'm sure you know kind of what's been going on in the wake of the scandal since it broke. And the long and the short is not enough. I don't want to jump ahead, but not enough. We'll come back to it. So I think there's been a lot of focus on the quote-unquote cheaters, and we forget about the dancers that were unaware this was going on and the mixed emotions that they have about the results that they worked hard for. And I think Cassidy said it really well in the documentary, just that, she brings up feeling like her results were for her former teacher. And that's kind of why she felt her name came up in the text to ask for favors, is because it was a result or a win for her teacher. It's not even really about her, and just how hurtful that realization was for her. Cassidy and I are the same age. We competed together for, years and years. Cassidy's not someone that I know, personally, but obviously growing up in the same age group and competing together for a lot of time, you know that she worked extremely hard for her results and was incredibly successful, and that the fact that she has to question now whether or not, she had help in achieving things, I can understand is just such a hard thing to grapple with. So I do appreciate that the dancers' stories were really, I think, brought to light and described really well by Owen and Cassidy. So I also want to give credit to Colleen Carey, and she was kind of brought in as the teacher's perspective on the scandal. And the reason I think she was an interesting choice to bring in, only because she's someone who broke away with USA Irish Dance Alliance, which is part of Onkogal. And this documentary gave her the chance to share her story about how she voted with her feet. And this is something that I know a lot of people kind of like deep down want to do, but are also afraid and kind of like don't want to for some reason. And I say for some reason, not like as in I question the reason. I just know that for everyone, their reason for why they stay might be different. And there might be some reason that is preventing them from making a switch or voting with their feet. And that reason is going to be different for everybody. So I know there were a lot of people that were critical or skeptical of that split. And although this is just one person's account of how that came to be and why that happened in late 2019, I think maybe after the Iraqis in 2019, I respect hearing her side of that story. And it's a story that I have not heard, you know, with my own ears from a direct source before. So that brought me to the most thought-provoking question in the documentary, at least to me. And that question was, if people had always suspected cheating, what stopped you from walking away? And as soon as I heard that, it was, you know, someone asking a question to one of the participants, and it like stopped me in my tracks, because it's that feeling that we don't want to leave. And like, how do I sum that up? What is my answer to that? And I thought long and hard about my response. And I think what I can sum my response into is like why I personally haven't said, you know what, CLRG, like, done with you, I'm out of here, and look for other options. What my personal response is I love Irish dancing. And you could argue that, you know, Irish dancing is Irish dancing. You don't even need to, you know, belong to a governing body to enjoy Irish dancing, and that's true. Irish dancing has given me so much in life. Right? Like I'm still here. I'm working in the industry. I've been dancing since I was 6. It's given me, I mean, everything. It's given me confidence. It's given me skills. It's given me life skills. It's given me a career. And again, you can argue that, okay, well, Irish dancing can give you those things and you don't need to belong to CLRG. And again, I do think that's true. Nothing is all good and nothing is all bad. And although I wish the bad parts weren't there, I don't want to walk away from the burning building. I do feel like the experiences that I've had in Irish dancing have been mostly positive. I would, for me personally, and I know this is going to be different for everybody, I would say I've probably had 85 to 90% positive experiences in my, 26 years of being involved. And I do think a lot of the experiences that I've had are ones that I might not have had if I didn't grow up dancing in CLRG. And please do not feel like I'm defending their inaction, because I absolutely do not. I think all of us want to see Irish dancing thrive. And a lot of us that feel that way also feel helpless, because leadership isn't acting. Consequences aren't being imposed. And people in power aren't doing enough to enact change. And this is the part where I, you know, was saying, if you're involved, if you're listening to this, you know, podcast, you're probably at least in tune with what's been going on. And, you know, we had the suspensions of those that were in the text messages. That number grew to 44 that were going to, you know, full, like, disciplinary hearings and all of that. And in the end, everyone was cleared. And in the communications, it was kind of listed like, oh, you know, our own rule books weren't quite as, you know, thorough. And like, it didn't specifically say that, you know, cheating is unethical or not allowed. Okay, let's fix that immediately. That's a pretty quick change to make. Just go ahead and edit that, please, for the future. And also just the fear, I'm going to call it fear, that CLRG might have over, you know, the like countersuits and lawsuits that were coming towards them for this. And I don't think that's acceptable. I don't think that's enough. Again, I'm here not walking away from the burning building, as hard as it might be sometimes, but there has to be some consequence involved. There has to be. And it has to be a consequence hefty enough that we don't have to worry about this again. Like a zero tolerance policy of, if you cheat, this consequence is imposed on you. Like, no questions asked. You know, sure, there could be an appeals process to, like, clear your name if something truly was a mistake or didn't happen. But it needs to be a swift and clear policy of, if you are unethical, if you cheat, this is what happens. And I just find it really frustrating, because there have been more minor, I guess I'll say, and by minor, I just mean not super, super explosive. You know, the text messages coming out felt so significant to us because it's the first time that at least many of us, it's the first time for me that I've ever seen it in black and white, in writing, right in front of everyone's face to see. It wasn't like a, you know, backdoor, oh, I heard that this happened, or, you know, bar conversation, or, you know, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, not that kind of thing. It was black and white. And we've heard of these more minor incidents coming up and consequences of some sort happening. Wait, 1 year suspension, I know, has been a punishment, a consequence that's been imposed in the past. And it's just shocking to me that we have not had a real consequence. Like, if this isn't enough, if this isn't significant enough to show that there's a problem, what is? Like, if now is not the time, what is? So there have been small things, and I do realize that change will happen slowly. It's not all going to be in huge steps or actions. But I know there's enough of us that want to feel like something significant has changed or is changing. The biggest concrete change we've had is that all teachers can vote for judges for the All Irelands and the Worlds, which is great and all, but I would much rather have, I think, everyone's confidence in ethical judging restored. I think most of us, if you had to rate from 1 to 5, most important to least important, I think most of us would put like sanctions on people that were shown to have cheated, ahead of, you know, voting for the All Irelands and the Worlds. And I guess maybe I shouldn't say that many of us would. I shouldn't speak for everybody, but at least from conversations I've had in passing, that seems to be kind of the number one frustration for many of us right now. And this goes back to my response of, you know, why haven't you walked away? Although I can't feel like I'm able to make a huge difference as someone who's not an AD or a CLRG member who goes to their meetings, one way I feel like I can do my part is to record an episode like this and start conversation. I also believe that there are more good people in Irish dancing than those with poor intentions or misaligned intentions. And the more we can bring the voices of people that like are well-intentioned, want this to thrive, want there to be change, if we can bring those light voices to light, we can at least drive some change as the voice of the community, if nothing else. So this brings me to the important addition to the podcast. You can now, as a listener, send sound bites to the podcast. You can open up your voice memo app on your phone or whatever app you use to do audio messages. You can send those recorded messages to CourtneyJTCRG@gmail.com. I will put it in the show notes. You can send that message anonymously or not. If you want to send it, like if you really want to protect your anonymity, yes, you can send it from like a burner email account. I don't care. If you tell me from your personal email account that you want to remain anonymous, I will not, you know, read your name on the show. You can also ask me to read your message. You know, you could, I guess, always type out a message, send me an email, and ask for it to be read on the show, so that way your voice isn't identifiable. But think of this as like a listener call-in. You can respond to something that I've said on the show. You can offer your own opinion or perspective about something that we've talked about here. So if you have another point about this documentary that you would like to have put out in the world, go ahead and send that in, audio or written, and I will share it at the opener of the next show. You can ask a question. If you have like a, I'm thinking of those old like radio shows my mom used to listen to, like, I don't know, I think she was a therapist or something, do radio. Like, if you have a, like, ask Courtney question, you can, you know, send that in. You can just say hi. It's totally open forum. I don't know what I'm going to get. So whatever you'd like to send, I will kind of sort through the mailbag, so to speak, on the next opener of the show. And I'm really happy about this documentary as a whole. One, because we love new Irish dance media and content. Two, you know, they were willing to touch a pretty hefty subject, and I think they did it well. Now, what I'm most curious about is they dropped this in right at the very, very end of episode 3. They submitted a Freedom of Information Act to the FBI about Irish dancing misconduct and things of that nature. And the FBI had a quite hefty case file. The part that I was a little confused about, and again, this hit right at the very end, I'm pretty sure it said it was going to take 77 months for them to get that file. Does anyone know why? Like, you can use the listener call-in feature for this if you want. Why does it take 77 months? Is it like they have to photocopy every file? Like, are we not digitized? Can we not just send this in like a protected, encrypted zip file somewhere? I would love to know, because I was really curious about that, because they've opened the door to another part where they receive these documents and there's probably a lot more that we don't even know. And that's super, super interesting to me. And I don't know if it's something that's a unique challenge to Irish dancing. Probably not. But the Freedom of Information Act request went to the FBI, which obviously will cover misconduct, documentation, complaints, etc., from within the United States. And I just wonder, you know, if you put together all the different countries that Irish dancing, you know, is found in, are there going to be even more? Like, does the UK have a whole file on misconduct allegations? Does Ireland have one? Does, you know, that part just was like, whoa, if the US has a case file this big, like, what does the rest of the world look like too? And we're definitely not done here. So I think I covered all my perspectives on the documentary. Feel free to disagree with anything that I've said here. Again, I would love to hear it. So please feel free to use that listener feature. I will put the email again in the show notes. You can send an audio message. Like, if you're just like, you can think of it like leaving me a voicemail if you're willing to have your, you know, audio played on the show. If not, you can send an email. You can send a little message for me to read on your behalf. I'm hoping it takes off. I hope it'll be fun. But anyway, that's it for this week's TCRG to CEO Radio. Not quite a business topic, but also just a current event, which I don't think gets covered any other way here in Irish dancing other than, you know, people arguing on the message board. So hopefully this is a more dignified forum for that type of discourse. I'm hoping, you know, whether you agree with me or not, that we can have a proper conversation about it. And I invite you to do that here. So until next week, Courtney's out. TCRG to CEO Radio is back. And I hope you join us for more next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.